Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust.
Woo.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo. It's a party, baby.
Michelob Ultra. He is Benny Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. You, the Scalzo and Brust family, calling, texting 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776 as we get through round one of the NFL draft.
Woo! It was exciting for the green and gold yesterday.
I mean, it kind of was, right? Like, so far in this draft, the Packers have lost Aaron Rodgers. They've gained Lucas Van Ness. They've got 2 second-round picks tonight and a third-round pick tonight.
And 3 receivers on the roster that weren't on the roster at this point. Well, actually, 1 on the roster at this point last year. It's literally Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Samara Toure.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying in terms of, like, they got, like...
I'm talking about what happened during this draft.
And I'm talking about how they haven't added to the wide receiver room like a lot of people have wanted them to. And the fact that last year, at this point, the only person a year ago on the roster was Christian Watson because he was drafted in the first round.
He wasn't. Second round. He was drafted in the second
round.
Holy
crap, I'm wrong again.
I'm so confused right now.
Yeah. Reset.
Ben was on the air until midnight last night, so we're going to be a little generous to him today. He turned it around, actually showed up pretty early in the office this morning. I was proud of you for that. So well done, Benny. Would turn it around, my man. Why are you looking at me?
Because you notice everything and it's scary.
Lucas Van Ness, the latest Green Bay Packer drafted, number 13 overall. They stayed pat. They took a defensive player. They took a defensive player that ultimately fit exactly what they like to do from a measurable standpoint, from a positional value standpoint. It was as Packers of a pick as you could get in the Ted Thompson era. And I don't think that's a bad thing. It was boring, but I don't think it was a bad thing. For a team that is in a place where you're not going for anything this year other than how do we get better, how do we improve our young players, and how do we put our young quarterback in a position to improve and see what he's made of, grabbing somebody who has positional versatility, who's young, he's only 21 years old, who hasn't had a ton of playing experience, so you think that the ceiling can be higher, and who has all the measurables that fits what you like to do, it's a pretty safe pick. I gave it a B grade last night on some grades that we submitted that I don't think have been published at all.
Nope, but...
I feel like it's a solid B pick. I'm not like, oh my God, I feel great about this. It's going to help here. But it's somebody who ultimately can make an impact where they're going to need it. He's going to be able to line up his edge rusher. He can move inside in certain places. And I think he's someone that can continue to bulk up. And seems like a player that that ultimately is going to fit what the Packers like to do defensively. The biggest thing to me is at what point is this defense going to be any good?
I mean, I give it a B plus just for all the same reasons, right? Preston Smith is getting older. Rashawn Gary's coming off an ACL injury, and again, he's a guy that can go inside. I've seen 2 comparisons, right? And it's always funny because you get the comparisons of former Packers. Goody mentioned he's kind of like Za'Darius Smith in a way, in which he can go play a little bit inside You can also get on the edge. And that's something that the Packers want from a defensive player, and that's versatility. And so he can bring that versatility. The Rashawn Gary comparison as well is a guy that didn't start for his team, but he played the second most defensive snaps for Iowa. Rashawn Gary, at the time when we drafted him, wasn't, I think he was also the not starting and was like the third edge rusher on the team. But again,
I don't think that's true.
I'm like fairly positive Rashawn Gary
started for the.
Regardless, he wasn't as good as he was supposed to be coming out of high school, and he was
Rashawn
drafted
Gary was
on
one
the
of the top. Rashawn Gary was one of the top prospects coming out of high school. Went to Michigan, and yes, some people would say his production didn't match that.
Regardless, my point being is.
Not regardless, but yes, your point is still stands that they think there's a high ceiling and the ability for those guys to grow.
And the bull rushing that Rashawn Gary does off the edge, they're both very strong.
I don't think that's a good comparison whatsoever. I'm sorry, I don't mean, but like, I just, he doesn't have the same speed and athleticism that Rashawn Gary has. I think the Aaron Campman comparison that's been made is a decent one. I think he's somebody who can continue to develop. Josh looks up to, I insulted the pick by saying Aaron Campman. I think Aaron Campman's a fine player to be like, hey, I think you look at Lucas Van Ness and say, can he be a part of this defense front seven for the next 6, 7, 8 years in a starter level player? I don't think you look at him and say, is he a DPOY candidate?
Absolutely not. But I think you look at him as like we could go back and do this about a lot of players that the Packers have drafted in the first round, right? Is he going to be able to be a part of the next 5 to 6 years? But unfortunately, as you look back the last 5 to 6 years, it's been a defense that continues to be invested in, and they're always on the precipice of being inside the top 10. They're always like hanging around top 15, top 12, top 10. And sooner or later, with all these investments in the first round and the capital that you've put into free agency with Devondre Campbell, Rasul Douglas, obviously you signed Jerry Alexander, Kenny Clark, like there are so many names on this defense that have been invested in that it's put up or shut up sooner or later.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. We want to hear from you. What is your opinion? What do you think about the Packers drafting Lucas Van Ness at number 13 overall in the first round? Once again, they get 3 picks tonight, 2 in the second, 1 in the third. And here's the thing to me is if he is a starter for the team, that's actually better than like half the defensive players they've drafted in the first round as of recent, right? Devontae Wyatt, not a starter yet, still too young to really rule him out down the line. Eric Stokes, we'll see, but he fell out of favor with this Packers team pretty considerably. Jordan Love starting for the first time. Darnell Savage, not a starter. Jair Alexander, great. Kevin King, I'm going to call him a first-round pick because he's the first pick of the second round. Not a starter. Kenny Clark, absolutely. Demarius Randall was not a consistent starter. Ha-ha Clinton Dix was. Like, Detone Jones? No, didn't work out. They're hitting about 50%. So if he can be a productive starter, you'll take it. It's just the tough part is with this defense, like, what the hell are they?
They're just a bunch of guys that, like, hopefully catch lightning in a bottle and turn people over. Like, that's literally what they've been, and that's how they won late in the season last year. It was interceptions last year.
I like the Quay Walker pick so much better than I like the Lucas Van Ness pick. And the reason why I say it, I'm not saying Quay Walker's a world beater. He obviously had some issues last year, especially in terms of keeping his cool. And he's an inside linebacker, which has much less positional value than somebody in the edge. But he's somebody that feels like he can be a game changer. Like he can be a disruptor defensively, where it feels like Van Ness isn't necessarily that guy yet. Now, again, he's 21 years old. He's only played 2 full years at Iowa. As Ben mentioned, he wasn't a starter, so he's only played still 1,000 snaps or so. But he's got that room to improve, and you have to hope that ultimately he does pretty significantly once you get him in the building.
I mean, I hate to put expectations on him, but again, I think you said it. Him being a starter is important. Like, you don't want, like, who knows where Rashawn Gary is in the ACL comeback? You know, that, like, again, that's something where Preston Smith, 8.5 sacks last year, he didn't have the best year. He showed up in some big time, big game moments, but he wasn't like, again, he wasn't like he was in the first year of him and the Smith brothers back in 2020, after the, Goody went out and got some free agents. Actually, it might have been 2019 now that I think about it, right? That's a lot. Preston Smith's been on this team for a long time. Rashawn Gary coming off of an ACL injury. Your next guy on the edge is your guy you drafted. And so he's going to have an opportunity to grow. He's going to have an opportunity to learn. And I continue to say those type of words because that's how I continue to look at this upcoming season for the Green Bay Packers. Learn, develop, grow, because I don't see them winning more than 8 games.
Text number seen chimes in 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. As I'm about to lose my mind, if y'all wanted an edge rusher with versatility, y'all should have picked Nolan Smith. He is a slightly smaller Micah Parsons. Smith also started for Georgia, best team in college, put up crazy numbers in the SEC. I'll say this about him. He absolutely does not fit what the Packers like to do from a length standpoint, from a size standpoint. He also went 30 overall, which was 17 picks below where the Packers did. So it's not like the Packers were the one team that like missed out on him. Maybe if they traded back, it would have been more realistic. But that is a guy that you look at and say in 3 or 4 years, he's more of a gadget player probably in the NFL. But is he somebody that can make a difference and be a disruptor in a way that maybe Van Ness can be? Maybe not.
You know who else was a defensive player that was on Georgia's national championship winning team? Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt. Just because he went to Georgia, again, doesn't mean it's going to be the results that you want it to be.
And he's not going to be Micah Parsons.
No, I agree with that. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Chris from New Berlin has a question for you. UW class of 92, by the way. Shout out to the University of Wisconsin class of 1992.
I was 1 year old.
Says, after the Packers, this is a specific question for you.
Okay.
After the Packers drafted another defensive player in the first round, do you think Jordan Love texted Aaron Rodgers and said any of the following? See, it's not just you. Damn, now I know how you feel. Can you pass some ayahuasca?
I'm just happy that I'm going to get a chance to play football, and it's my team now. Like, Jordan Love doesn't have the opportunity to complain about a defensive player being drafted. I'm sorry. Like, as much as this is what day two is for. Day two, there's an opportunity for the Packers to add more to the offense to help Jordan Love. And I hate to break it to you, even when they add more, it's still not going to be that great to me because they didn't go and address anything in free agency. Like, this is the whole offseason to me has been a miss on how the front office has handled it since the end of last season.
Teddy from Watertown says, smart, safe pick, can play edge or on the line, probably won't be a consistent contributor until 24, just in time for when the Packers will actually be battling for the playoffs. His floor is Dean Lowry, his ceiling, Za'Darius Smith. JD from Fondy says, I have a feeling they will flip Van Ness to offense, maybe a little tight end action for him. Pete McGuanico says, maybe wide receiver over tight end. Ben can bench more than Lucas Van Ness. Not slighting Big Benny, but just saying.
Yeah, I've seen people talk about how Van Ness, his bench was like less than Christian Watson's, I want to say. I don't know if that's confirmed true. But if you watch the film, I'm not worried about a chest press. He's got that. He's a hockey guy, Greg. You know this. Hockey guy. His first love was hockey. That means he's tough. What you do?
Sometimes it means you're tough.
I saw a hit he gave somebody. Or it's just he's bigger than everybody and knocked the guy down.
I mean, Josh is our hockey player on the show here. You could be a big guy that can hit and still not be that tough. Right? I'm not saying that's the case with Lucas Van Ness, but...
I mean, he had 17 bench press reps. Like, it's not...
It's not Kevin Durant.
Right.
Ben, you could put up 17 at 225, right?
We've been through this.
Alan in Milwaukee says, okay, I'm going to lose my mind if another person on ESPN Wisconsin Airwaves talks about the Packers not winning more than 6 or 8 games as if they have a chance to win more than 3 or 4 games. Where on earth are these wins coming from? Name a team that this team is better than. Kirk Cousins throws touchdowns more than Jordan Love. Can the Lions, they're not the same old Lions anymore, and the Bears suck, so they might get one there. And if you can't win in your division, your season is done. So where are the other 7 wins coming from? Please, someone explain.
If I'm not mistaken, our guy Alan is the guy who joins like this. So I'd really like to hear, you know, hey, Alan, I'd love to hear you.
That's just not normal.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Brian in South Milwaukee, welcome to Scouts and Bruss. What did you think of the Packers' first pick yesterday in Lucas Van Ness, the edge rusher, defensive lineman out of the University of Iowa?
Not a bad pick. Is he as talented as some guys? No. Seems like, from what I've read, he has a really good work ethic. He kind of reminded me his track to becoming a starter. Reminded me a bit of J.J. Watt, because if you remember, Watt came out of Pewaukee, he was not very big. That's why he went to Central Michigan, and he didn't really get recruited by Wisconsin. He built himself, his body, into being a solid, bigger guy his freshman and sophomore year. Sounds like Vaness kind of did that same thing. Came in as a 220 string bean, and now he's built himself up. So I think he's still got some potential yet to meet versus where he's been. So, I think there's room to work there with him. He's not going to be a world beater talent-wise, but sometimes talent can be overhyped too, especially if they don't have the work ethic to go with it.
Would you call him scrappy, Brian, in South Milwaukee?
Well, I don't know about scrappy. I mean, I think he's a smart, hard-nosed player. Seems like he's good against the run. That might be where he's better than some of these smaller guys that are faster, is he might be able to set the edge a little bit better. And that's where the Packers got burned time and time again last year, is on the edge. They weren't setting the edge, and guys were getting around on him.
Does he remind you of a coach's kid?
Thank you, Brian, South Milwaukee. Work ethic, J.J. Watt, hard nose, smart.
Tough.
800-990-3776. Phil in a car. Phil, welcome to Scals and Russ. What do you think of Lucas Van Ness?
Hey, fellas. This is just Aaron Kampman version 2.0.
Do you want to elaborate?
He's got the same size. He's got, give or take, the same speed. And Aaron Kampman is fine for a first-round pick. It's fine.
What would you have liked to have seen otherwise? Because you're not happy.
I'm okay. Like, it isn't great. It isn't terrible. I can live with Aaron Kampman in the first round.
All right. Thank you for the call, Phil in a car.
Like a fun existence.
It's fine. It was fine. Teddy from Watertown says nobody over 6 foot is scrappy. Yeah, I was going for another stereotype about a white defensive lineman. But we hit about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We hit about 6 or 7 of them so far.
Didn't Aaron Kampman have like 17 sacks in a season? Like, wasn't he like leading?
Kampman was a good player. Like I said, if you get Aaron Kampman and you get him starting for the next 6, 7, 8 years in Lucas Van Ness, you got to feel pretty good about that pick. 800-990-3776. We'll keep taking your calls. Plus, Homeward, join us next. It is Scalzo and Bras presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Bras, presented by Michelob Ultra.
Was it known that you were going to make margaritas? Austin here says no.
One would assume that the Mar guy is going to make margaritas.
The Mar guy, I go back to.
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah, thanks, Joshy.
But it's a thing.
But that's just in your personal life.
Your head.
No, Austin knows this.
I never would have thought of Ben as the Mar guy.
I don't care what you think.
Scalzo and Brust. Available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
Ben Bross, Greg Scales, and Josh DiMaggio, you. We got our guy, Riley Yauch. Did I get that right?
Close. It's Yauch.
Yauch. I'm going to get it right the next time. It's like Yuke, but Yauch.
Exactly.
All right. Riley
Yauch. I like Yauch's energy, for the record.
I did too. Holding things
Thanks,
down.
Ben.
In Madison.
You're so much cooler than Ryan Wollersheim. It's not even funny.
Homer's going to join us here momentarily, but first we're going to go to Leroy in Milwaukee. Leroy, welcome to Scalzo and Brust. What do you got?
What's up, family, y'all?
Family's here for you. What do you got
to
for
hear
us?
Your voice.
All the time. I like hearing y'all voice. Scalzo, Brust, Josh, y'all. I love y'all guys always from my heart and soul. You know that. And it's been a long time I've been rocking with you guys, and I thank you guys. But I just want you guys to know I'm happy with the Green Bay Packer pick.
Mm.
But I'm okay. Family, y'all my family. But I'm going to rock with the Bucks now. How you guys feel about Damian Lillard to the Bucks? And on top of that, I listen to Willie and Tosh every morning. Every morning, family. So I'm walking with Willie on this. Damian Lillard to the Bucks.
Thank you for the call.
I love it. We love you, Leroy. Thank you for the call. Ben said it yesterday. He's a fan of Dame Lillard.
I'm a fan of Dame Lillard. I don't think it makes sense for the Milwaukee
Depends
Bucks.
Depends what you have to give up for him.
Yes, but like the Milwaukee Bucks need to put young talent around Giannis. This would put them in a scenario where they have a really talented offensive player, but like, ah.
Speaking of young talent, we now welcome in Homer to Scalzo and Bruss. You hear him every day, 2 to 4 on Homer and Tony on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Homer, your opinion on the drafting of Lucas Van Ness by the Packers at 13 overall last night?
That doesn't matter. I learned from Ron Wolf long ago. He had first-round picks that weren't good.
All right, then let me ask you a bigger question, because last night...
I would say it's okay. I don't development of a team is going to depend on all the picks and what they do in the second and third round, and if they get lucky at the end. So, my assumption is it's okay.
You sound like a lot of Packer fans.
Like what?
Like a lot of Packer fans. It's okay. If it's a need,
right.
It's boring.
Yeah, because the things that you bring up are idiotic. That's why they say it's okay.
Wow.
Gotta have an offensive player. Gotta have a wide receiver. All hell's gonna break loose. They're gonna suck for 20 years. I mean, it's just not important enough to draw that much attention. You make it like
when the hell did I say they should get a tight end and wide receiver in the first round?
What?
You're calling me out, so I'm confused here.
Well, the need to get a wide receiver in the first round. They have had incredible success for 20 years getting wide receivers in the second and third round that have been fantastic. There's no need to have to pick in the first round. And as a matter of fact, I would probably suggest against it, given the ones that were available. So they've had great success getting a wide receiver and tight end beyond the first round. So to be concerned about this specific year, the first time they've done it the way they had success was actually in the last year, when they took Mr. Watson in a manner similar to successes in the past. They're going to take a tight end in the second round. If not the first pick, it'll be the second pick. So what's the reason to be so upset?
I'm not upset. I think the bigger story of the night was after the drafting of Lucas Van Ness. Mr. Van Ness, his father, gave his son's girlfriend a hug and then gave her a double tap right on the butt. Like, just grabbed her butt right after the pick was made. What did you make of that move, Homer, of the father with the double butt tap on the son's girlfriend?
I did not see it, but I don't have to say it. I don't have to see it to say that's wrong. Weird, wrong. I'm trying to think, what if my dad had done that to my girlfriend? I don't know, are they engaged or just serious? I don't know the...
It's just serious.
I don't think it really matters.
Girl,
serious, yeah. Relationship, engaged, marriage shouldn't matter.
No, it should, but I'm just curious to make sure to know the context of if my dad did that, wow.
We'd have some words, yes. I think that's...
No, we would not have had some words. I don't know what I would have done, but to say we would have words is not...
You wouldn't have? What do you mean you wouldn't have words with him?
No, because I would have gone to my mom and said, what is wrong with dad?
I guess that's fair.
And then I would have addressed it accordingly. So,
Josh, maybe put the video out for anybody who hasn't seen it on Twitter at Scalzo and Bruss. Just ask, what's a one-word reaction that you have to the video? Because... It caught me by surprise. I'll say that.
Homer, you just seem down in general right now.
I'm totally down.
Why? What's wrong?
You didn't have addressed it. I addressed it at the end. The god of baseball is coming to Milwaukee. You have a chance to see something that no one has ever had a chance to see in baseball, and Shohei Ohtani's not pitching.
Oh, who cares?
Well, I know. That's the saddest. The greatest baseball.
But you still get to see him. You still
in
get
the
to see
history
him.
Of the game.
You
in
still get to see him hit.
Game.
Homer, you still get to see him hit.
That's not the greatness of him. The greatness of him is his ability to pitch and hit. And you would have the chance to see him do it in the same game. I'm 68. There's never been that chance my entire life. Probably never will be again.
If you care this much, you can fly your way out to Los Angeles
or go to Chicago. I don't want Shohei Ohtani pitching against the Brewers because he's a damn good pitcher. I'd rather face worse pitchers.
I would sacrifice a loss to watch the god of baseball hit and pitch in the same game.
Well, that's hurting the Brewers. And your philosophy is that you should be rooting for Aaron Rodgers to lose every game and play 65% of the snaps. So you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Now, again, that's because this is unlike anything I'll ever see in my life. Ever. Yes, I will sacrifice one of 162 to
not a fan. Not a true fan of the Brewers.
I still think it's more impressive when the pitchers can are ambidextrous and can throw righty or lefty. To me, that's more impressive than the pitcher that can hit and pitch.
I've never seen that either. If there was such a pitcher, then I would say the same thing. Yes.
Yeah, there's a kid in college right now who throws well over 90, both from his right hand and his left hand. The interesting thing, though, is you can't switch during the at-bat. You have to declare which side you're pitching from before the at-bat, much like the batter has to do.
Right. Well, no, they have to change that. That's if somebody's able to do it. Why do you have such a rule? Yeah. What? I can pitch any way I want every pitch.
I tend to agree. I don't know why they lock them in.
Well, then why does any rule exist?
Wait. So then what? So Homer, you're just down that you don't get to see Shohei Ohtani pitch at AmFam Field.
The key is to watch him do both in the same game because that's never been seen before. Ever.
I just, I don't get the...
And he's elite at both. Well, if it doesn't mean anything to you, then fine. Probably somebody's done something in cricket. The god of cricket. You didn't care about that.
No, that's not what I was going to say, Homer. You keep jumping all over me, damn it. I was going to say, I don't get the phenomenon of wanting to watch something in person versus watching it on TV. You can appreciate the greatness either way.
Not when it's that special. In most cases, I agree.
Well, then fly out to go see him if you care so much.
Well, I probably will at some point, but this is in my town where I don't have to go anywhere. It'd be like, for example, if there was a basketball player who could fly. Okay?
No.
This is ridiculous.
Because no human has ever flown before. You have pitchers that hit, no matter how bad they are. You're still pitchers that hit. You could go way back in the day to Babe Ruth. If there was a guy 100 years ago in the NBA that flew, it'd be an apt comparison.
Well, I wasn't alive 100 years ago, but so that's the point there. Yes, nobody's done it in my lifetime, and I'm old. So, yeah, it is the same as somebody flying. Now, maybe they don't have to fly the whole court. Maybe they could dunk a ball. Maybe they could, what was the Disney one thing that they had?
Air Bud.
That was invented. What? No, way before Air Bud. I don't know. But anyway, so maybe he could jump from half court and dunk or something like that. And then, yes, you'd want to go see that. Other things, yes, same on TV. The only thing I can compare that to, I never saw it, but we're watching Michael Jordan the first time when he came, when he's a rookie. Yeah, I wanted to go see him play. And I'll admit, he was better in person than I had even imagined.
Homer, before we let you go, what do you want them to? What do you want the Packers to do tonight with their 2 second round picks? 1/3? Do you want them to stay right there, pick their guys? You want them to move up? Like, what? What's an ideal night for Homer tonight?
A nap.
No. They're going to take a tight end. They're going to. So I mean, that's the. But the everything is.
All right, so the tight ends available right now include Washington out of Georgia.
Mayer from Notre Dame, Mayer from Iowa.
Laporta and Musgrave
from Oregon State.
Yep.
Those are four, yeah. So, I'm not crazy. Goody's your GM. You're going to get the players and – the ability of Jordan Love is 10 times more important than the entire draft. So, And Goody's going to do the same stuff he's always done. He doesn't, you know, that's what they believe is how you build a team and win, and you win with it. So, no, they're not going to do anything crazy. And then, you know, granted, if these players are good, the god of baseball isn't going to pitch in any of the same games.
All right. Thank you, Homer.
Big
you
baby.
Guys don't even care.
No, not
at
all.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, way to go. Thank you, Josh.
Jeez, I love Homer, but I mean, like, you know who I want to see out there on the field? Wade Miley. I'd take a Wade Miley start over a Shohei Ohtani start any day of the week and twice.
It's a real grinder. Real grinder.
I know it's uncommon and we haven't seen it, but all Shohei Ohtani's doing is playing baseball. The flying comparison is insane.
Flying comparison's a little bit. Like if Greinke went 2-for-4 with a home run the same game he was pitching.
Right.
Like that's
I've seen him do it. I've seen Madison Bumgarner do it.
I was at a game where Jake Arrieta had a home run. Like this, it's not that crazy.
Cool. You had to get the Arrieta in there, huh?
He's a Cy Young right here.
Why do you feel like that? Like, why are you so cocky about that right there?
I'm not. I don't even know how we got on this. I'm disappointed that we're talking about this.
I actually want to say, like, what was that?
What was what? I was just trying to brag that I got to see someone hit a home run and pitch in the same game, and Homer's going to cry all weekend that he can't see Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, freaking Jake Arrieta. Let's do some 1 or 0s next. We'll keep talking draft with you, the Scalzo and Russ family. We're presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
If he does get traded.
I really do wonder. No, I'm just. What?
It's a pregnant pause. It's very pregnant.
Holy smokes.
Guys.
That was 9 months.
I looked over to make sure he was still breathing.
Scalzo and Brust, available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
A Packer party song to get you ready for rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft on a beautiful Friday afternoon. Homer mentioned it. Brewers at home at AmFam Field taking on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They still are the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, right?
As far as I know.
Or have they cut out the of Anaheim?
I think it's just the Anaheim Angels. No, it's the Los Angeles Angels. No Anaheim.
I think they're still of Anaheim.
We all have computers in front of us where we can figure this out.
I miss this song Tyler having Anderson, relevance to
Tyler
us.
Anderson yes. On the hill for the Angels and on the hill for the Milwaukee Brewers. Wade Miley!
Happy to report that my Wade Miley jersey was not a scam! No round of applause?
How is it?
It's... The stitching is like, it's like ready to come out any second.
Sounds about right. That's what you get. Josh Shields, go to some 1 or 0s.
Are you a 1 or a 0? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a 1 or a 0.
He's Ben Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. We're your contestants for 1 or 0. Josh DiMaggio is your host.
Did you know you giggled on air?
I did, yes. For those that don't know, which is pretty much everybody, me and Ben now have the ability to talk to one another by pushing one button, and it doesn't go over the air. And I was explaining to Ben, I'm terrified. I'll say something that I shouldn't. I know, but when you're doing that, now I can't hear myself. I'm in the middle of talking.
And Ben is
in my ear right now talking. It's going to be a mayhem with this thing. But I was saying, at some point, I'm just worried I'm going to make, like, not even that bad of a joke, but just say something I didn't want to go out on the air that I meant to do as a joke to Ben or to Josh, and it'll go out on the air. And then I giggled on the air.
As a wise man once told me, treat it like the mics are always on.
That is true.
Bleep.
What do you got, Joshy?
Last night, Lucas Van Ness and his family were the stars of the draft when they cut to his living room, where his brother had to be tugged off of him while he was on the phone with the Packers, and his father was shown tapping his girlfriend, who's Cole Kmet's sister, on the butt twice. 1 or 0. Butt taps are acceptable with your son's girlfriend.
I'm a 0 here.
full take.
I don't...
It wasn't as confident as I thought it should be.
I don't think it's appropriate. I don't...
Different strokes for different folks, though. Like, what if, like, that's their thing?
I'm pretty open to all things. It just felt wrong. I'll be honest. When you see the whole thing play out, the way the hug... His arm was up all the way by the shoulder neck area.
It was also a weird hug, right? The way his arm was, like, connected to her, or like, it was a weird hug.
He did a half hug with... Was that his mom or his daughter? And then he went full two-handed, big-time, handsy hug, and then...
The drop down.
The top hand, not the bottom hand. The top hand all the way down with a double tap. And, like, not like a tap-tap, like a tap-tap.
Cancer zero. I don't even feel like I have to explain myself.
One or zero, you have to bring up with your dad butt-tapping of your girlfriend.
One.
You have to.
Dad, what happened?
Especially when you're 6'7", 270, or 6'5", 270. Like, what are you doing, Dad?
Last night, neither the Green Bay Packers nor the New York Jets drafted Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but both teams did end up taking defensive ends. One or zero, the Packers should have drafted Smith-Njigba.
Zero, like, if Goody really wanted him, he could have got him. And maybe even could have traded back to get him. But at this point, they're going to go after a tight end or a wide receiver really in this second round. They have opportunities to do so today. And so since he didn't find it a priority, I'm going to have to trust that it wasn't a priority and they didn't have him at the top of the board.
I wasn't paying attention. I was reading the text line. Pat on the back to me.
And Jigba.
It's
should
fine.
Have drafted
we'll move
him?
On to the yeah, next one. This is
should they have drafted one. Him? No. Zero.
One or zero. Aaron Rodgers was consulted on the first round pick of the Jets.
Not during the draft, but Aaron knew who was on their short list. And he looked and said, yeah, if you find the right tackle, I think that's great. But ultimately, if there's a kid out of Waukesha, Wisconsin, who can make this defense even more dangerous than it already is, feed me.
Make him 25, too, please.
He turns 24 in the summer, I think, right? He's 23 now. But honestly, I think of all the teams that should care not care at all about age, it's the Jets. Like, they are all in who can help us immediately mode, and he is the bendiest pass rusher of the draft, according to Mel Kiper and Todd McShay.
I don't know what that means, by the way. Bendiest? Like
ankle flexion, Ben.
It means that he can, like, get his... He's got the torso strength, ultimately, to wiggle his way through.
You know how Von Miller looks like he's sideways when he's rushing the passer?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what Ben
is. This is a guy that can get to the quarterback for the Jets.
The reason why I don't think Aaron Rodgers is mad is because he's watched crap top 10, top 15 defenses. And so he's looking at this and says, all right, I got my guy in Lazard. I got an offensive rookie of the year, AFC offensive rookie of the year in Garrett Wilson. And I know the offensive line needs help. They can address that. But, like, if I can have another top five, if I can have a top five defense, like, it's hard to complain about, if I'm being honest.
They were top five defense last year.
I know. That's what I'm saying. If they could be top five again, it's hard for me to be like Aaron Rodgers, be like, you know what? I'm not happy with making the defense potentially top five to top three.
Peyton Manning won his second Super Bowl without an arm, basically, because he was carried by his defense.
The interesting thing about the Jets draft pick is the Packers went out of their usual terms last year for Devontae Wyatt, who's older for people they typically draft. Now, Wyatt couldn't get on the field. Hopefully, McDonald can get on the field and contribute to him, but...
You'd hope if you're the Jets.
That was like kind of the idea. It's like, well, they're going to get somebody who can contribute now.
Yeah.
Not the case. When asked, the Patriots director of player personnel gave a big ear-to-ear smile when asked if the Patriots made the trade with the Steelers to jump the Jets because the Steelers were likely to draft a tackle like they did a position of need for the New York Jets. One or zero. Spotting teams in your division is a good is good for team success.
That's a doozy, Josh.
So it's a one, and the Patriots and Jets have done this to each other for years. The turmoil, the history is they despise each other. And Bill Belichick, of course, spent one day as the Jets head coach before then ultimately moving over and leading the greatest dynasty in the history of the Super Bowl era in the NFL. But I think that, yes, like, of course it does. You're making your divisional opponent worse. You play him twice a year. Like, if you think that they have a weakness and you could have somebody jump up ahead and you want to move back anyway, it's a brilliant move.
Yeah, one. I love this move. It's such a heady play. It's The same way that we said the Green Bay Packers made the most Green Bay Packers draft pick, that is the most New England Patriots thing of all time.
That's all I got.
That does it for 1-0. Thank you, Josh DiMaggio. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. The number to get in to the show. Let's quickly take Jake in Milwaukee. Jake, welcome to Scouts on Brussels, presented by Michelob Ultra. What do you got?
Hey, guys. What grade would you guys give the Packers last night for the...
Go to break.
Whoa.
Wow, Joshy!
Friday. Jerkish.
I mean, usually vibes are high on Friday.
Grade.
We already gave our grades. I gave them a B.
B+.
I don't care about draft.
Joshy, grade?
Grade, come on.
A+.
A+. What about our guy, Riley Yauk?
You want a grade for the Packers draft pick last night?
Riley, you just got to have the grade ready. Of course, that's what I'm asking. Come on.
Sorry about that. Give me a B-.
All right. I will. I'll give you worse than that for that performance.
Knuckle sandwich.
800-990-ESPN. 800-990-3776. Vroom, vroom, Benny. Tell us about Road America.
Oh, baby, I can't wait for this season, to quote our guy Homer, who joined us earlier in the program, because it's time to make your summer plans for the 10 races that are happening, the 10 major races from Vintage Weekends to NASCAR Racing to the NTT IndyCar Series race that I will be at. The best part about Road America, 4 miles of racing. But come for that experience and stay for the race. The experience is free admission for kids 16 and under. Free admission for kids 16 and under. Free parking and on-site camping. So much family, affordable fun for all of you to enjoy. We have a great racetrack here in the state of Wisconsin, in our backyard at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. Check it out, roadamerica.com. Book your tickets today.
NFL Draft. What did you think of the pick last night? But really, I want to turn the page. What do you want them to do tonight? Two picks coming up in the top 15 of the second round in the NFL draft tonight for the Packers. 800-990-ESPN. We'll talk to you next. Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
That's a spoiled rotten brat.
Well, I already made that point. You don't think you need to double down on it.
Scalzo and Brust, available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
I wish you well. I wish you well.
Joshy's quick hook of the caller asking for your grade of the Packers' first-round draft pick. I would actually give it an A-, I would say.
Yeah, I was impressed that you actually had the stones to do so.
He had the stones, he had the conviction, he went ahead, he did it, he didn't waste any time.
And he stood by what he did. I mean, there was a little bit of hesitation initially, but then he was like, no, I am okay with how I handled myself.
It would have been an A-plus if you abstained from giving a grade, but you gave a sarcastic A-plus grade. Which
A-plus!
Still, so... Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Thanks, guys.
800.
Okay, now we can't be nice to him. Did you hear that? Thanks, guys.
800-990-3776. The number to get into the show. Second round coming up in the NFL draft. Packers get two picks, and they get a pick in the third round as well. What do you want to see them do? You want to see them move up? You want to see them try to make a trade? Do you want to see them take a tight end right away? There's still some tight ends on the board. Do you want to see them fortify the offensive line? Maybe take a quarterback because they really don't have another one on the roster. A wide receiver, perhaps. Or do they continue to build up that vaunted Joe Barry defense that they've been building for the past few years? 800-990-3776, the number to get into the show. Benny?
I've convinced myself last night and over the night waking up that I like Luke Musgrave because he's got good numbers from the combine. He's 6'6", good size. Like, again, at this point, I don't think Darnell Washington's my guy. I don't think Meyer's likely going to be there, and I don't think he's worth trading up for. So I think if Musgrave, there's a chance he might not be there either. So If it falls that way and it's Washington or LaPorta, I'm probably going LaPorta. Let's go with the double Iowa. Let's go with the Hawkeye brothers in the first two picks of the draft, which would feel really, really, weird to go from drafting, you know, Georgia players to Iowa players, kind of anti-Goot in a way. But again, Kirk Ferentz bringing those NFL players to the league.
Laporta, but you like Musgrave.
I do, but like, there's a chance that Meyer and Musgrave are taken before it gets to the Packers.
Yeah, I know they're going to take a tight end with one of these two picks because you can't end up taking somebody later on. I still just like, I never liked taking a tight end in this spot. Like Josiah DeGuara in the third round a few years ago was the perfect place to take the perfect player, Josiah the Messiah. If you're making me take one, I'm taking Michael Mayer, and it's the safest pick out of them. He doesn't have the same sort of ceiling that you get with Musgrave or Washington. Musgrave I only like because the story isn't dissimilar to Gronkowski in the sense where he had the tools, he was big enough, he had some of the measurables, he just got hurt late, you know, and missed the year before he went to the draft, was still highly thought of. I'm not a big Darnell Washington fan in terms of what I think he could become. Mayer to me at least gives you like, you know, the ceiling's not super high, but he gives you somebody who's a pro player who could step in
more ready now,
that security blanket. But look, if the Packers ultimately love a Musgrave or Washington or Laporta, I hope they go out and get him, and I hope that they get him and go all in that pursuit of the player. I still want to see them do something on the offensive line, because I know weapons are important, but I think the worst thing you can do for your quarterback is put them in a position where they do not have time in the pocket. And right now, they've got an okay offensive line with a big depth problem. And I think continuing to add to the offensive line with players that can make an impact is an important thing for them to do here on night two in the NFL draft.
The last 2 years, and it's not apples to apples specifically because the Packers offensive line is better than the Bears, but watching rookie quarterback to year two quarterback Justin Fields, the only difference about Justin Fields last year is Luke Getsy as the offensive coordinator ran him outside of like standing in the pocket and just moved Justin Fields and ran him to death. Jordan Love's got to have time to let the Matt LaFleur offense develop, especially since he's been learning the last 3 years. Like, again, I'm with you there. They have a good offensive line. Is David Bakhtiari going to be here long term? Is there a tackle that they like in this spot? I would probably predict they go tight end tackle over seeing a wide receiver drafted.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. As they suck in the third round anyways, trade the third and 45 and move up and take the tight end wide receiver you really like. Then take another pick at 42. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate it. Like, if there's somebody they love, go ahead and move up. I still would rather see them, quite frankly, like, move down and add assets. Yeah. But they've got a lot of picks in this draft. And I think that they're going to take a lot of guys because they're going to be able to do so and fill their roster with some cheap bodies because they've got a $40 million cap hit on their, on their cap this year.
Honestly, like,
with Aaron Rodgers is my reference.
It would at least like excite me, even if it was a tight end.
Dude,
my tummy hurts today.
Okay, but your pants are unbuttoned. The zipper's not even zippered all the way up. You don't wear underwear, and you're streaming live on video, and I'm sitting staring at you 5 feet away. So I think it's okay for me to call it out.
Touche. I don't know if I should finish my point.
The way he whined to you when you didn't even say anything, my tummy hurts.
His tummy does hurt.
I ate my burrito too fast because I had to make it to a 1 o'clock meeting.
Classic. We'll get some water, Joe. Then I feel like you're starting to, you know, slow down a little bit. Drink a little water, Joe. Get fired up.
Yeah, it helped me get through the late night shift yesterday, 10 p.m. to midnight, covering the Green Bay Packers draft special. Which means I'm going to need a little pick me up for this 5 o'clock hour, last hour of the show. What better way to get me going than water, Joe? The Ben Brust 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by 85 milligrams of caffeine, clean, healthy energy. That's right, water freaking Joe. Water freaking Joe! Water freaking Joe! That's how I'm going to be riding the rest of the way. Find it at your local retailer. It's amazing.
Back in 2 minutes. Who's your guy? Night 2 NFL Draft, Scalzo and Bros, presented by Michelob Ultra.